Last week, we began a series on being rooted in gratitude and growing in Christ. Our 130th anniversary celebration, repositioning us to give thanks first for who God is and how God has moved in the past and will move in the future. We started last week with gratitude, not attitude, and this week, look forward to being grateful for trials. Sounds kind of counterintuitive, doesn't it? The children at 8:30 told me very strongly they would not try to be thankful this week. It was too hard. They spoke very clearly, I think, what many of us have felt at different points. To be grateful for that which turns our stomach, or that brings on headaches or tests our patience, often leaves us worn out. To be grateful for that which is unfair and challenging takes reflection and perspective. This is the hard work of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, the work that he calls us to do regularly. In the reading from the first letter to the church at Thessalonica, there was a little line tucked in. I wonder if you caught it in amongst all those verses. It said, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you." Almost as if Paul was not just writing to the church at Thessalonica, but the church at Westgrove as well. It's a little gem tucked in there in a letter to a church where things are perhaps not going as well as they might hope to be. Giving thanks in all circumstances is more than just a reflection around the Thanksgiving table on the gifts of family and food, but rather includes the daily life struggles, the real life lived. In this letter, it's a first century world in which none of the creature comforts you and I know or the legal privileges we know are yet commonplace. Giving thanks in all circumstances is Paul's writing to us. It's giving thanks, perhaps we'd hear today, when the hard drive on your computer fails, when a water pump needs to be replaced in your car. Giving thanks to God when the pain in your knee that you've tolerated for a while is moving closer and closer to surgery and the headaches don't seem to be letting up. Giving thanks to God when work is a bear. You've accumulated work from those around you and there aren't enough hours to get done everything you're being asked to get done. And the coworkers, they're just adding a little excitement to getting that done as well. Giving thanks to God, not because you enjoy the circumstance, but because these are the places where we go deeper in our faith journey. These are the places where we depend more and figure out less. Telling the stories of where we've seen and known God often involves the times of greatest trial and challenge in our own lives. Some of you have heard me tell parts of this story, of my story, but it felt like it wanted to be shared a bit today. For me, part of this story of depending on God involves a high school me and an admission to the hospital for depression and eating disorders. It's a place where I experienced the holiness and dependence on God and the presence of God in the sacrament of Holy Communion. In high school, when the world fell in around my head and I couldn't figure out how to hold up the world any longer, spent a little time getting help with that. There's nothing about that experience that makes you want to give thanks. Nothing about the long list of things you can't pack to go in the hospital, or the rules you have to follow in order to be there, or the schedule that is more drudgery and rigorous than it is insight and revelation. I find myself, however, giving thanks to God for dependence on God and on God's people. When a youth leader from my home congregation brought communion in the darkest of hours, I think about the fact that she was patted down before she came into the hospital, and the communion bread was broken so there'd be no contraband stuck inside. God showed up through her, in her, and in the mystical presence of Holy Communion. I give thanks to God for creativity, God's creativity, for persistence, for steadfastness, and for suffering with. That is the very character of who God is. God's commitment to be with God's people, not just in the best times, not just on Christmas and Easter, but God plays for keeps. Let's talk about theology for just a moment here. Theology is how we think and understand about who God is. So as we talk about trials, it's important for us to remind ourselves that God does not cause or send our trials. God does not give out medical diagnoses or make shortfalls on bills at the end of the month. God does not wish for us to fall short or to mess up. Our human blessing and challenge is that we, you and I, have the ability to make choices that affect us in the short term and in the long view. Choices that affect just one, and choices that affect all of us. God redeems our struggles and walks with us in those hardest places of life. I found myself thinking about this last Sunday evening. We hosted Dr. David Shank here, the author of the books that our Understanding Islam class has been reading together. Dr. Shank has a passion for sharing Jesus with our Muslim brothers and sisters, which he's done here and around the world. He reminded us that day that one of the unique and compelling truths of our faith is that our God suffers with us. In many faiths, this is not their understanding of God. You and I know through Jesus that God suffers with us. He shared with us that many Muslims have come to know Jesus as Savior for this reason, because God walks with them in the trials of life. Jesus, the Son of God and second person of the Trinity, never abandons us. In fact, the very parable from Jesus this morning has something to say about how to be grateful in the face of trials. Jesus' parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector caution us against the "thank God it's not me" mentality we might have in the face of trials. Initially, I can imagine that the observation of "thank God what they're going through is not what I'm going through" is neutral or benign. Not uplifting, just neutral. The challenge with you and I and our humanity is it moves very quickly to judgment, the kind of judgment that doesn't involve empathy or understanding, the kind that involves our sin of dismissal, of one-upmanship, of "I'm better than they are. I must spend more time with God. I must be better than they are. In that, we've not offered gratitude. We've offered veiled judgments. As soon as we start to question whether or not someone deserves a place in the kingdom, we do well to remember the Pharisee and the tax collector. We do well to remember this parable each time we point to others' trials and wonder what's happened in their life to deserve that trial. Here, church, we have some work to do. If we're going to respond to God's call to be rooted in gratitude, we need to learn to give thanks first to God. How will you this week give thanks to God for the challenges and unfair circumstances you find yourself in? Where will you rely and depend on God who can and will redeem everything, plot twists in your life yet to be uncovered? The way we respond to our trials shape us, and they shape those who are around us. I also want to say, the way we respond to the challenges in our lives is our very best witness. It's our very best reflection of being a Jesus follower. It's the best imitation we have of the one whom we follow. So this week, I pray that you have opportunities to cultivate that gratitude at work, at home, on the road, as you travel. I pray that you begin to give God glory for who God is and what God has already done. I pray you'll live your faith out loud as a grateful disciple of Jesus, so that others come along and say, how is it that in the midst of that challenge, you found gratitude and you found joy? And they'll ask you about the God you know who suffers alongside his people. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.